It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Wednesday, July 16th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. A partnership between Apple and IBM was unthinkable just a few decades ago when the companies were both in the PC market. But in the mobile world, partners. The two companies have announced a deal where IBM would develop apps featuring its business-oriented data software to run on iPads, iPhones. Why? Well, not just so your work phone and your regular phone can both be an iPhone. There are other reasons, too. Charlene Lee is founder of Altimeter Group. Charlene, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Do you think this would have happened in a Steve Jobs Apple world?
I think it could have happened in a Steve Jobs Apple world only because what Steve wanted to do was to have everybody have this device. And if he knew that people were being held back from being able to use this in the workplace, he would want to enable that.
Does Apple's hardware potentially change as it thinks more aggressively about serving business?
The interesting thing about this is that this isn't about Apple's hardware changing. It's about the software changing so that it can meet the needs of the enterprise. And what's really interesting is that this is being built on top of the Apple platform, the iOS platform.
All right. So there's at least two other 800-pound gorillas in the room here, right? What are the companies that Apple and IBM are going to be competing with here?
Well, I think one is probably a 400-pound gorilla, BlackBerry, at this point. So this is probably the death knell, the stake being driven through BlackBerry's heart, because any enterprise that was still holding out hope for BlackBerry to come back to life, they're just going to say, look, all of our employees want Apple devices. We're just going to move on to that. And then the other big player in this is Microsoft with the Windows platform, if that's all going to be challenged by this really nice, unique package.
All right, you didn't say anything yet about Google Android.
Well, I think Google Android is another one in that they've got to figure out how do they have consistency across Android first and foremost before any enterprise can begin even contemplating using Android. That's Apple's biggest advantage, is that they have been so consistent and so insistent on having a single platform for all of their devices.
Charlene Lee is the founder of Altimeter Group. Charlene, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on it.
Earnings week for big tech companies sometimes means they grab top headlines. And this week we've got news that Yahoo earnings, while expected to be flat, did actually decline a bit. That's thanks to their online ads going for less. They actually dropped 24% in price in the second quarter. How come? Well, there are a lot more places for those display ads to go online these days. And James McQuivy of Forrester Research says that means it's harder to make money.
Everyone, Yahoo included, is trying to get as much inventory into the market as possible, and it's making it a buyer's market. It means that Yahoo and others can't drive the prices up no matter how attractive the content properties they're bringing into the internet are.
McQuivy says that's why even though the company has made a lot of interesting purchases, like the blogging website Tumblr, it's not seeing a boost in ad sales yet. How's your inbox doing in the political messaging slash begging department? Any, quote, personal emails from members of Congress recently? To political candidates, email is extremely important. Campaigns spend lots of time trying to make email messages as effective as possible. They want you to vote, but also to give again and again. Marketplace's David Gura digs into the science behind campaign email.
When Barack Obama first ran for president, Steve Geer was his email director.
It's a fun job.
It's also an important job. In 2012, President Obama's re-election campaign raised more than $350 million through email.
You know, you have a subject line that catches your attention. You have an introductory sentence that hooks you and brings you into the narrative. And then you get as quickly as you can to the ask.
Because our inboxes are so full, Geer says, a catchy subject line is key.
If no one opens your email, it doesn't matter how good your argument is.
Obama for America used subject lines that were casual. Meet me for dinner, one said. It looked like the president had sent the message himself.
Increasingly, people are doing things that will just simply catch the eye.
That's Patrick Ruffini, a consultant who oversaw digital strategy for the Republican National Committee. Campaigns are using animated GIFs and countdown clocks. Ruffini says the novelty factor is important, but it's also important to have a message and to keep it short.
You need to essentially get them off that email as quickly as possible.
What someone like Ruffini really wants is for you to click a link and to donate. An email director looks at how much you've given and when you've given.
The amount of testing that is now going into emails to keep people opening, to keep people clicking, I mean, it's amazing.
Email, compared to direct mail or TV ads, is cheap, and the return on what's a relatively small investment is huge. Eitan Hirsch is a professor of political science at Yale.
Having lots of people giving $5 generates this very powerful list that campaigns can use now and in the future.
A digital strategist like Steve Geer lives in fear of donors unsubscribing.
Good copy, good creative will always get attention, but there's a difference between short-term attention and long-term engagement.
A campaign wants you to give not once, but over and over again. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And a quick reminder that the only cable company with a worse reputation for customer service than Time Warner Cable is the company that wants to buy it. A guy in California named Ryan Block called Comcast to try and get his internet service disconnected. The 8-minute phone call that he recorded with the pushy customer service agent is, well, here's a clip.
The way that you can help me is by disconnecting our service. That's how you can help me.
How is that helping you, though?
Because that's what I want.
Remind me how that's helping.
That's what I want.
Why is that what you want?
Because that's what I want.
Comcast has released a statement saying it's, quote, very embarrassed by how Block was treated and that it is investigating. That recording, by the way, played over 2 million times online. I guess some people can relate. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.